He is the winner of the Royal Rumble on his way to headline WrestleMania, Cody Rhodes.
He eliminated me.
Yo, you did the internet's work last night, bro.
Well, something had to be done.
Dad, Dusty Rhodes. Sister, Lana Rhodes.
Sir, I don't think we're related.
That's his ex-girlfriend.
Great. In Japan, you know, you can't go in the gyms with tattoos.
Well, yeah, he can't even go to Japan.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
All this merchandise that's going to come out with this pec injury. I saw a Funko.
They made a Funko out of it?
I don't think I'm supposed to say it.
We can take care of it.
No, let it roll.
He's wild.
I'm gassed up. Not like flatulence. I'm fired up.
I'm not going to start with a poop joke.
Yeah, what the
guest up?
I'm fired up because I'm proud to announce Prime is the official sports drink of the UFC.
Wow.
Let's go.
Wait, what? Who had that sound
ready? I downloaded the app. DJ Horn app. Let me tell you something. This is the coolest thing of my life. I'm not kidding. Probably top three accomplishments I've ever done. Prime, a drink that KSI and I created, is now the official sports drink of one of the biggest global fight organizations in the world. An organization I have been watching since I was a child, and the fact that we are now fueling and partner with them is mind-blowing to me. It's a simulation. This is not real life, but somehow it's happened. We're going to be in the corners. We're going to be on the ring. We're going to be at the weigh-ins, and you're going to see our commercials during the events. It's insane, and keep an eye out for Prime X UFC.
Nice. Congrats.
Thank you, dude.
Also, so quick, bro. So quick.
Yeah, it's a year and 1 month.
It's because the product's really good.
Thank you.
I think even people that like don't want to see it succeed will taste it and be like, fuck, this is such
a
good product.
There's a guy on TikTok who would disagree with you. Kevin sent me this today. Actually, you know what? I don't know what he thinks of the product, but Kevin sent me this dude, day four of destroying Prime until Logan Paul comments stop. He's just destroying it.
Well, tell him to stop.
And no.
Oh, you wanted to keep promoting the product.
Great exposure.
Oh, yeah.
But also,
smart.
Gatorade commented.
Oh.
They said, don't stop.
Oh.
And then we commented, that's what your mom said last night.
Oh. Prime.
The fact that you're even on their radar for them to be upset with your product, that's hot.
Ooh, they shivering, yeah, they quivering. And we have a Super Bowl commercial too, right before kickoff. Look out
nice.
For that. Anyways,
that's crazy. You know what else is crazy?
What
are you doing here?
Oh, yeah.
Why are you here, bro?
I thought we fired you, dummy.
Yeah, they fired me, but then they read the comments and they're like, we got to bring this guy back like right now.
You suck, Jordan. You're the worst person ever.
No, dude, what are you talking
you
about?
You clickbaited
you
us.
You guys all came
you
to
put
me.
An X through our faces.
You
dude.
X'd our faces out. This is your show. You own equity in this show. And you canceled us, motherfucker.
Yo, I can't hear myself, but I'm excited to be here, guys. I thank you guys for everybody who brought my job back. It was really hard paying the bills.
Stop. Dude, this guy, first off.
I'm going to scoot over there real quick.
Okay. George started his own podcast, which,
my God. Maybe. Thank God you did, because you're fired again, motherfucker. Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here, dude.
Georgie started his own podcast, and I think it's a great idea. I always love when my co-hosts venture out and do their own things. And you'll come to learn that podcasting is such a cathartic, therapeutic, and forum for personal growth. Mm. Being able to talk at length and just express yourself and articulate your ideas is an incredible gift. And podcasting is an amazing tool for making that happen. I actually recommend, this is odd because not everyone can do this, but that everyone start a podcast if you have the means to do so. But I love that you did that. But his first podcast was called like, what was it like?
Why Impulsive Mistreated
No, no,
me
no. Why I wasn't on Impulsive. Why George Django isn't on Impulsive. Because I wasn't. I was.
No. That worked. It was the thumbnail, motherfucker.
X through the faces.
You black and white Impulsive, a little canceled through the logo.
It's not my fault. You guys fired me.
No, because that's what you said on your show too. You said you walked in a room and we were doing a seance
with Mike's books as the fifth vital. Bro. Yo, you know
people don't get your sarcasm.
It wasn't sarcasm, bro. It was real, bro.
No, you have to stop. Listen,
okay, I'll stop.
Yo,
I'll stop.
They literally.
Bro, you have to stop. I don't think people understand that you're joking.
I'm gonna get fired again. I gotta stop.
Oh my god.
No, but the clipping on the internet and the
look at his shirt, bro. I want 10% of that.
Look at this shit, bro. How gas is this, bro?
It is actually dope.
And so we're not ever selling this. I think I'm gonna give this one of one to like Caleb or something like that. Unless you guys want, I can't imagine you want this. Not to mention one of these people will probably be off the show again in the next like 2 months.
Stop. Stop. I can't have this.
No, stop. Sorry. I'm kidding. I know. But let me say this one thing. The disinformation on the internet is absolutely crazy because once that started going viral, they went and dug up the clip of the time when you were like, read the sign. And I walked off the show and I was like, all right, bro, do the show by yourself. Have a good show. Dude, it got like a million likes on TikTok and it got even as high up. Crazy to say this, as Patrick Bet David. Patrick Bet David saw the clips. He said he's having trouble with George. He's having trouble with Mike, and he needs to take a 90-day break. And so I think
he could check in on you. He's a nice guy.
No, he's great. He's very well spoken. He's very insightful. But I think even for him, the misinformation that goes around the internet kind of got to him a little bit. And he's not in this bubble, obviously. Sue doesn't know exactly what's going on. But it's not. Are you going to talk about the break?
Yeah, I'm going to take, I started my 90-day break yesterday, and then I did Royal Rumble, now I'm doing this show, we're going back, launching Prime, headed to Australia, but so the 90-day break has started. But,
it can't happen, unfortunately. It would be nice.
No, I appreciate him weighing in, and I am thankful that people care about my mental health. That does mean a lot to me, because, you know, not the smoothest start to the year, And you sleep in the bed you make. I'm sleeping in this bed. I'm just gonna try to take the learnings I can from it. But I'm happy. I have some. I'm not going to say them yet because I'm still internalizing and processing everything that's happening. And I think growth and change, as grand as the stuff that has happened in the beginning of the year, takes a while. It's gonna be easier 6 months from now, a year from now, to look back and really be able to have some really good takeaways that I can learn from and then express. But I'm very happy we're all in the same room, guys. I love you guys so much, seriously. And like, I think part of any friendship is tribulation. And sure, we had some bumps, but like, I'll just be honest, using it for clickbait isn't cool. I'm just kidding. No, I love that you started your show. Guys, George started a podcast. He doesn't know the name of it yet.
I think I have a name.
No, okay. Don't do that.
I want to
say it.
Could you say it? Could you announce
no,
it?
No, see, you won't even say
it. Is it the one we liked?
No, it's the one that I liked.
Oh.
All True with George Engel, but tell him like the real name of it. The full name of it. I want you to explain it.
Altruism?
Yeah. I want to see what the audience thinks.
I'd rather you explain it.
Okay, so it's called All True. It's a play on words like impulsive because, like, you know, I got inspired by you guys. And by the way, like, I just want to thank you guys because I did start my podcast and you guys have been supporting it. All joking aside, these two guys are my best friends. We do bump heads and the world puts a weight on it. But, you know, I consider you guys my brothers. And
Which brother are you closer with?
Yeah,
Logan. He pays me.
He doesn't. That's not true, bro.
Mike, it's not about you. Mike,
you own part
Mike,
of the
don't
show.
Mike, don't cut me off ever again. I have my own show now. I'll gossip about you. I will fucking gossip about you, okay? I will fucking... Anyways, so it's all true, George Jacob, staying true myself, but also it's not about myself. It's about my neighbors, and I get to go into these monologues. And so I wanted to tell the impulsive audience, I will weigh in on how I feel, but I won't give you the fucking monologues anymore, okay? I know you're sick of my monologues.
Wait, that's not true. You
wait
can't
a sec.
Assume
yeah,
that.
That's
you
not good. No, can't. they just have to be the right monologue. Like, that's not true. Some of your monologues are great, and then some are just... You know, when Bobby Lee's joking about everything and you talk about, you just took a turn that no one was ready for that day, bro.
I thought it was great.
Thank you.
But regardless, congratulations. It's awesome. Guys, check out his podcast. I think it's great. And that reminds me.
That's so
me,
sweet that you put the link in the bio, too.
I did
so
that.
Nice.
I put the link in the bio. No, I will. Caleb, can you put the link in George's
podcast?
Oh, my God.
Podcast? Well, fuck it. Throw in the link to the last
night. No, Mike, shut up.
No, because I actually want to take this time to tell you, Mike, I think you should take a page out of Georgie's book. and start a show of your own.
Listen, here's the thing with me. I'm not in a rush. I'm in a very slow moving place in my life. I don't feel the need to make any like rapid movements.
Respect.
And I have a couple very good entities. I'm working on some IP, as you know, in the food space, blah, 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 whatever. But I will do that, but it's going to be done through agency. It's going to be done with a production agency, and probably it's going to take some time.
I've been working on it for close to
6 months now, trying to make all the pieces come together as a side thing.
Taking your time to make sure you get something as crucial as that right is important. I just think it'd be so cool if we all have our own forum to talk about whatever, and then we come together on this show. And
why are you saying that? Are you trying to get us to all set up side things so you can cancel the show and hire your girlfriend as the co-host instead of us?
Oh, my God.
Maybe no, because I don't. Did you idea. See what he just did
that's
right
a
there?
Pretty good fucking idea.
Did you see what he did, bro?
I don't care. He put the link in the description.
Bro, yeah, but no one watches his show anymore, so no one's going to click the fucking link, George.
Hey, stop talking bad about our show. You're an owner.
Speaking of not talking bad, one thing I've been learning from our daily prayer sessions, me and George have been praying together.
I just noticed that Mike has been a little down, so I've been taking the time as a brother,
dude,
and just praying with him.
Have you considered taking a 90-day break?
Bro, I'm not down. I think you've always said that.
Well, you just look down all the time.
Dude, David loved that one.
You guys been praying?
Yeah. I like to, and by the way, well, I didn't think we were gonna bring that up, but
was it okay if I did?
Oh, of course. Yeah. I just didn't want to put you on the spot like that.
Oh, are you rolling back because you don't want to talk about any religious stuff?
Not at all. I love that. Also, I just want to let you guys know, there's a lot of Christians that come after me when I like do something, and they're like, "That is not a Christian. This is how you do a Christian." And it's like kind of overwhelming, bro. That's the only thing that makes me want to stop talking about Jesus. Actually, Christians.
No, that's crazy.
I think faith, religion, belief in general, because not everyone believes the same thing, can be a divisive topic, and it's something I've definitely learned. What is so goddamn funny?
When I started hearing you talk about it, I just got so scared for a second.
I actually went like this because I thought he was going to punch me in the face.
Bro. All right.
We're just pulling your neck.
Yeah. We're just kidding. Sorry.
I pray every night. I pray, like I said, I do gratitude prayers. Mm. Just because, I don't know, I just feel thankful. That's what I feel, the energy I want to put into the universe. How do you guys pray? I'm curious what the joint prayer looks like.
So basically, we just talk about whatever weighs on his heart. Mm. And then we feel like, instead of just like how I pray, for example, if I'm going to work, I don't go like, "Hey, God, please bless my day of work." I figure out what my work process looks like. So maybe I need to speak with a sharper tongue. Maybe I need to be a better listener. Mm. So I ask God for better quality so I could be a stronger individual for my brothers and sisters around me.
And so he does that for me. You know, honestly, I know, kind of changing topics but staying in the same space, I know that finding your purpose is one of the hardest things to do in life. And I'm sure a lot of the people in the audience watching this, and like really anybody on earth, has so much trouble. And it's such a lifelong endeavor to find out what you're here for. And I know you do so many things and you're good at so many things. I've tried everything under the sun. But George, when you speak with the fuel that is the book and God, it's like watching an art form. Like when I watched you describing Proverbs to me yesterday and talking to me about how you internalized that and how you digested it and what it spit out and meant to you for your life and for my life, there's a flair and a magic that exists within you that is so palpable that I wanted to mention this to you yesterday. Like, man, fuck those mean Christians, bro. Like you like, honestly, bro, you got it, dude. Like, I could really see you going into that space and really changing people's lives.
That's
dude.
Why I'm excited that you started your show.
I'm finding myself.
You have an audience, dude. This podcast is where I found myself. I know it got shit views because people aren't too happy with me right now, but my year in review video was a video I was really proud of.
And
two things I said that you guys just said is, one, I found myself last year, and two, life is just...
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's the giant quest to find out who you are and what makes you happy. And I'm thankful that I think because of how much I try to do anyways, I found little snippets of me here and there, and now I have an idea of who I am.
Yeah, you like molded it.
Yeah.
It's just the thing about it is, as people have put together this kind of mainstream broad platform that is Impulsive or any of our like channels that play in this massive YouTube sphere, it's sometimes very intimidating and scary to have an idea or a concept around something niche. And the idea of it can be so impactful totally. And important to move towards your direct and defined purpose. When I speak about addiction, substance abuse, and mental health, that's the any clip you've ever seen of me that's gone viral has all been about one topic, because the viral moments are built out of passion.
Yeah.
What they always say is, it's not about what you say, it's about how you make people.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pile-ups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
People feel. Mm. And you can't make people feel without that passion coming from you. It won't be received the right way. And I only have that passion for 1 or 2 things in life, and that's helping people that are going through shit and food, to be honest with you. I love food. And so my message to you and to anybody out there is, if you're having trouble finding success through some broad-based platform, find your niche and take a chance on it. You delivered me a great word from Proverbs yesterday, which was along the lines of a small piece. Basically, I'll paraphrase, a small piece of something purposeful is much bigger than a, what was the message? So
it's better to be a little righteous than have a lot of riches with like just nothing but pride in your heart. And the overlining story of it is like, and this goes for anything, even if you're not biblical, like if you do work and you're just thinking about the money and like, for example, our situation, right? Like a lot of people think, and I'm not, no disrespect, that I'm only here because of the money. But I'm here because it's making me a better person, and I'm actually taking pieces from my brothers and the situation to have a actual spiritual and physical growth. And it once you stop caring about that and only focus on financing because you think like, oh, I got to pay my bills, I got to make sure I get to that level, then you start worshiping money, and then you just start realizing you feel so tight in your chest. Yeah, Mike, good point. All right.
That was funny. Okay, I feel like now we need to adjust. Look.
If we're gonna adjust it, our battery went completely dead. And Jorge, we got it. We gotta give him a shout out. He just shout ran.
He ran 4 blocks. 4 blocks.
Yo,
he sprinted.
You had promised me a clean transition. There's no way you went with the TV version.
So
of
we're
it,
trying
bro.
To we're trying to pick it up.
Yeah, Mike. Good point.
No, bro, you gave me one shot. Go one ahead. Shot. No Fuck way. It. Let's just move on.
You're talking about righteousness.
No, we're talking about yesterday. Yesterday, you did something crazy. Let's talk about it, bro.
The Royal Rumble.
Yes.
The Royal Rumble. My first Royal Rumble. What a crazy event. So, WWE Wrestling, I managed to recover my grade 3 MCL tear in about 3 months, and I was fit enough to participate in this event yesterday. And this is insane. This is actually probably one of WWE's most insane events. The Royal Rumble, the way this works is they send out a new wrestler every 90 seconds. So there can be up to 30 guys in the ring at one time. Yesterday, I think the max was probably 7 to 10, but it is absolutely insane. And as an outsider, this is also new to me, and I'm trying to obviously do my best to perform at the highest level, but also just take it all in.
Run through it. Because just a little bit of context. One thing you have done, and I think the traditionalists, and we'll talk about this later in the episode, are noticing already, is you create the moment of the evening. You did it at Crown Jewel, and you did it again last night at Royal Rumble. You and Ricochet get on opposing ropes, and you spot
springboard
called, yeah. and you basically mark a spot visually, because they said great spot. Everybody online was saying that was a great spot. What does that mean exactly? Like is that the whole thing?
It's a good moment.
The whole moment. Got it. Sorry. I'm I apologize. just run us through that moment really
so
quick.
So yeah, the move was we both do what's called a springboard, which is where you jump and put your foot on the top rope and use it as a trampoline bounce. And then I can't believe this was possible. And by the way, when this move was pitched to me, I was like, is that possible? But generally when I have that reaction, it's a good thing, because if it is, it's incredible. I don't think it's been done before. The wrestling purists will perhaps come down on me for this one, but I don't think it's been done before, which is what I like to do. I like to chase those moments that are really fresh,
right,
and innovative, and create that social media buzz. So midair, trampoline bounce off the top rope, and me and Ricochet clothesline the shit out of each other at like 1,000 miles an hour. And then when we landed, because we're also falling from, it's got to be 7-8 feet.
Right.
No higher.
Then I crawled out of the ring. I had some time there to sit on the edge. Someone gave me Prime. Shout out to that person. Was refueled. Got back in the ring and managed to finish. But wow, this sport is hard and it hurts. And it's so much fun and I love it. And 60, yesterday was amazing.
How many? There was what, like 60,000 plus people or something like
so
that?
So many San Antonio
in the stadium.
Great.
So I didn't tell you this, but after that match happened, when we went back to the green room, I'd walked around the hallway for a second. And I see Roman Reigns, and he's walking down the hall. Bro, like, dude, you're crushing it, bro. But at the end of the day, like, this dude is the guy, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's him, as they say on TikTok, right? And he's walking down the hall, and we have a fun relationship now because what happened in Saudi, where he kind of helped us, like, you know, whatever, right? And I'm walking and I go, hey, man, you know, good luck tonight. He goes, thanks, Mike. Thanks, whatever, right? And I go, did you see Logan? He goes, that boy's going to learn to tuck his chin one of these days.
Oh, my God.
That's what he said, bro. And then he just gave the dopest smile and, like, smirk and just walked off, bro. So he's so cool, bro.
So I said it. I said Nina was worried for me because I hit my head, my girlfriend.
Not funny.
No.
That's what she said.
We were all making jokes about it.
we were roasting Logan.
Because I was like stuttering over my words, saying shit twice. And Nina was like, I told her in the room, I was like, I just have to tuck my chin. And then every wrestler I passed on my way out was like, tuck your chin, buddy. And she's like, this is a thing. And you knew it was a thing and you didn't do it. You moron. And look, I'm learning as I go. And it's hard.
Well, there's a lot of steps there, dude. Springboard off collision. Like, the last thing you're probably thinking about is what you're going to do upon post-collision.
Yeah, but I'll be honest. None of it matters because I eliminated Seth Rollins.
Nice.
Got you, nice. Son of a bitch.
He's probably pissed at you.
Yeah, he's angry. But, yeah, that's going to be good. We have a legend on the show today. Unless there's anything else. I mean, there was a fun event. I think maybe we bring the guy on.
Let's do it. I'll scoot over there.
All right. I have an intro.
Oh, wait, can I have my other shirt, please? I'm going to put a different shirt on.
All right. I'll do the intro. Ready? Ladies and gentlemen, our guest today is the hottest WWE superstar in the game. He is the winner of the Royal Rumble on his way to headline WrestleMania. He is the American Nightmare, ladies and gentlemen, Cody Rhodes. Oh, George, everyone's standing for this? Oh, my God.
No comments getting me on this one. George is so polite. He stands for all the guests. Guess what, motherfuckers? We're all polite now.
Yeah.
We're all polite.
So, Cody.
What a polite bunch.
Dude, you look like a stud. The president.
Yes.
The only dreams I had growing up, I wanted to be WWE champion, and then I wanted to run for president.
Was that before or after the tattoo on the neck?
So I don't want to run for president anymore. That seems like a terrible thing. Also, the tattoo on the neck, it's not really
a tattoo.
It's fake. It's a slap on.
So the dude drew it, and I've always liked the design, and then American Nightmare design was what it was, but I powered through, because I have like one tattoo on my chest for my dad and stuff. I don't not have a lot of tattoos. And he was like powering through. He's like, do you really want to take a break? You probably want to take a break, mm-hmm. right? You want to take a break? And I kept thinking, like, oh, I'm good. Yeah. I'm good. I wish I had taken a break, because I didn't know it was like double the size of the drawing I saw. And I thought, oh my God, I'm wrestling in 2 days. Because he said either do it months out or just 2 days before.
How do you make that mistake?
I mean, I don't know if it was a mistake or if I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, I don't think you were paying attention.
A lot of people were like, neck. And then, like, my boss at the time, this was when I was at AEW, he just thought, like, no way. This is not going to be your neck. And then I walked into the production meeting the next day. Just I remember Jim Ross was a legendary wrestling announcer. Jim Ross literally just, oh my
God. What have you done?
He, the whole meeting was just staring at it. The whole not listening to anything. Oh,
no,
all
it's
right.
It's sick. I think it really worked out.
Thank you.
I mean that. I'm new to this world, obviously, and
Earth,
or new to Earth. I just got here. The wrestling universe is new to me, and when I first came onto you, your look was the first thing I noticed. Like, you have the look of a WWE superstar. Like, if someone were to draw a WWE superstar, it'd be you, and I think the neck tattoo would be included, and perhaps that's part of the reason why you're like, you're the great right now. You won Royal Rumble last night.
That's crazy.
Congratulations, by the way.
Congrats, yeah.
Unbelievable.
That was the Royal Rumble was one of my favorite matches. And I was here for a decade prior to when I went on my excursion and went away. And then I came back and I was in the ring with Randy Orton. I like took the bullet at the end of that Rumble. Yeah. I was there like the goon. He got rid of me and then Randy dumped him right away. He won the Rumble. Mm. And I remember being in the ring and looking at him and he's doing the sign point, pyro's going off. And I thought, that's, I want to be that.
One day.
My one day was like, it'll be next year, it'll be 2 years later. The amount of excursions and detours on that road. Oh my gosh. But I kept thinking about Randy last night, which is weird, but I was thinking about him just, man, I got to do it and I feel good. Cause when you're young getting in that, I was 19 when I started with WWE. Yep. They tell you, you're the future. They try to groom you. They try to teach you. And I like when it pays off.
Yeah.
When after the X amount of time, like, all right, he finally figured it out. Good on him. So
finally, and it's been a while, man. And you really deserve it. And I think everyone can recognize that. That's what the fandom feels. And and truthfully, the reason why I was stalling to bring him on the podcast, guys, and I don't know if you remember, if you were even paying attention to anything that I do anymore. Oh, no. But he eliminated me, bro.
Yo, you did the internet's work last night, bro. Good job.
Threw me over the rope.
They're going to love you, dude.
Top three. Threw me over the rope. Nah, man. It was...
something had to be done. Something. You were pointing at the sign. You were... The match wasn't over. You were going to Hollywood. You're already Hollywood. And then... So I was talking about this before I came on. Yesterday, I kept... I don't know if you noticed. Just kept... looking at you and kept like through the day staring at you. And this is what I thought.
Damn, this kid's ugly.
I thought that because you were so calm and you were just in your casual clothes. I was already in my gear. You're just in your casual clothes. You're just sitting there. And some wrestlers, I mean, the prep work that goes into like getting ready for this presentation or whatever, it's some like bodybuilding meets the sporting, the athletics of it. You're just chilling. And I wanted to say to you, like, do you not know it's we're on Central Time? I thought you were missing, like, oh, we're gonna be out at 8:00, and like, I wanted to, but I was like, no, that's maybe he's just like present, he's just zen, And I was about to do it, and then I watched you changing your stuff in a matter of just moments. This is not. Being from this world, I've seen some wrestlers who all the way up to it, they're gluing their crystals on, they're in a panic state, just put your stuff on, did like the little oil up, started pumping up just a little bit, all your posse all filming you and everything, and this just went and executed. And this is the novelty, right, of this outsider enters our world. I mean, I don't know how much longer you're an outsider, bud. Like, that's the most wrestler thing I've seen. Like, come in and you're in the Royal Rumble. The amount of responsibility that's on that match. And then I'm sure I can't say I'm sorry for eliminating you.
No, I get it. It's an honor.
It was
by the way.
It was it was the time and it was the moment. But I think huge news coming out of for you. Eliminating Seth Rollins is, I mean, you could feel the air come out of the building.
I like that I got to do that.
My gosh.
You're the only person in the whole building that wants.
He was so disappointed.
The party.
He was sitting there with his head in his hands.
Oh, I mean, this
so
is,
long.
This is Seth, who is, he's won every title.
Yeah.
Known to man. He's in my book. I have my three top wrestlers, and I try not to be in just our WWE bubble. I try to be, look everywhere, and I've wrestled everybody.
Yeah.
I think he's, I always say he's top three. Like
for sure.
He's
incredible.
Unreal. Yeah.
You want to hit the other two while you're here.
So I like to say in the wrestling space, Roman Reigns is number one, undoubtedly. And 800 something days as champion. And that's hard argument against. I like to think I'm number two. Nice. And then, because I've never beat Roman, and that's hopefully, that's what I'd like to do. And I'd put Seth at three. And then I'd give, I think you're, that four spot is somewhere between a John Moxley or a Kenny Omega. I don't know, you know, I'm not, no, they're other companies. But
those are all currents, right?
Yeah, those
what,
are your
what about looking back?
Oh, the goats?
Yeah, because I want to at some point bounce a little bit. But since we're here, like who are your big dogs inspirations? Like top three, top four.
So my big inspirations, because you know when it's coming up, and my dad was in this, but my dad was older. He had me when he was like 39. Sure. I don't think I was planned. I don't know.
Great accident.
So hey, yeah,
you're what the you're what the baby from a 39-year-old looks like.
Yeah,
all right.
So
let's go. That's I'm almost there.
So yeah, so he had me, and then later in his career, he was pretty much retired. When so I didn't see him in his prime. I couldn't be like rah rah go dad. I was more of like
traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
A case study for him. I'd order the pay-per-views. I'd sit on the floor with my figures and watch everything. And he'd just kind of sit behind me and see what I was into. Because that was how he tested how he was going to continue, you know, in the industry. But I grew up with, there were Shawn Michaels and Sting, because there's a WCW guy coming from the South, and my dad having been the boss there for the brief amount of time he was. So those were my guys. And then I you say this and people will be like, oh, that's a lie because he works here now, or, you know, because when I was at AEW, I broke his throne and I made a scene out of it. But Triple H did become one of my favorites. Legend. And it's very easy to see because I model a lot of the presentation after him, but Sting and Shawn were my first two big favorites. A lot of crying because my dad just let me watch it and didn't really explain anything to me and how it would work. Like one time Sting broke his ribs, Vader broke his ribs, and I didn't figure, like, I couldn't believe it. We're driving home from the show and I'm tearing up in the front seat and like, he's not helping me. He's not letting me into the world a little bit at all. I asked him what he's gonna do. He told me, oh, yeah, I think he'll be on the show in 2 weeks. He's just going to drink some milk and he's going to be okay. So I broke my leg in fifth grade and thought, I just do the milk.
This boy needs some milk.
Give me 2 weeks, I'll be good. I was in the cast for 7 months, so, you know.
Yeah. But your family's royalty, dad, Dusty Rhodes, half-brother, Dustin Rhodes, Gold Dust, which wasn't, sister, Lana Rhodes.
The porn star?
Oh, I'm...
I don't think we're related.
No, that's not.
Are we not related?
I thought they were.
I don't think you guys
are related
genetically.
I think we ran the
23andMe
and come back.
Oh, it did come back.
Oh, okay. Well, okay. We'll go back to Dustin and Dusty then.
Yeah.
Gold Dust. I mean, you're in a. I mean, everybody in the family's good at physical stuff.
That's his ex-girlfriend.
Great. But,
sorry, that was on the PDF. I. Dustin Rhodes, Gold Dust.
Yep.
And you, when you were in, what was it called? Elite?
All Elite Wrestling.
Mm-hmm. All Elite. You actually had, you took up a name. Was it Stardust?
No, Stardust was here. Stardust is the reason.
Explain this to
Stardust
me.
Stardust is the reason I left.
Okay.
So it real like the story was, I was with WWE since I was 19, and I was kind of a very much a legacy hire. They knew he was Dusty's son, and that opened that door for me. And then the tricky thing being second or third generation, once the doors open, once you got that special treatment here, now your expectations are through the roof.
Like, yeah.
And I wasn't ready for those expectations, slow learner, all that. But I was really chipping away, and you know, the brass rings or these things you get when you're lower to the middle of the card, everything I was, you know, good live segments, I was nailing them. I won the Intercontinental Championship. I was making the most of it. I felt like I'm right there. I was going to win Money in the Bank a couple times, and it changed, like, as we got closer. I mean, That's the thing about people don't understand how real wrestling can be. Some of these moments, like winning the friggin' Royal Rumble, I haven't slept. It's a life change.
Wait, what did you do? I wanted to ask. There's a lot to do in San Antonio.
There's a Dave and Buster's across the street.
I literally just sat on my bus and I just sat there and looked at my phone and these messages from just trying to really reflect,
taking it all in,
and wanting to be there. In the moment, because you know wrestling's highs and lows. You can't. This is going to be a high, but we're gonna hit. There's gonna be a low too. So, but anyways, I was chipping away. I was doing so well, and my brother and I, we had a great tag team run. And my dad got to do this one kind of last stand before he passed away. It was just off and running. And then I don't blame anyone. I don't. I really blame myself. Back then, I blamed Hunter. I blamed everybody. I was so angry. But then they wanted me to do a gimmick, a character like Dustin's, which Goldust is enigmatic, very, depending on if you saw him in 1997, you have a different opinion on how we talk about him today, like envelope pushing, right? That didn't fit for me. Mm. And I got some hope along the way where they thought like, okay, it'll be its own thing. It'll be more superhero-like and I can make that fun. I love comics and that might be the way to go. And I tried to make the most of it and kids liked it and it was fun and it was very... it was very like a kid's character. And it was like, cause it was, you know, my face was painted. It was like wearing a mask too. So I felt like I was at least behind something, but very, very dead inside. Very like the sad clown. And I believe so much in the concept, especially cause it was true. When I was here at 19 and you did something good, you got rewarded. You did something good, you got rewarded. These little rewards. This was one where I was doing it right. I'm making the most out of this. This is stupid. Mm. This is, I'm wearing a trash bag bodysuit. Dustin's got this, he's a master painter. I can barely do it. I'm just trying to hang on here. And we were checking those boxes and they just didn't seem like they were gonna get me out of it. And that was where my dad had just passed away. So you have those real problems at home. You don't need any problems at work. And they don't let anyone do this anymore because of how I did it. I handled it poorly, but it was what needed to be done. I just quit. I didn't even sign my release papers. They could probably still sue me today, but I work. I just posted on social and I very responsible. I should have done it differently. I did give him the best heads up.
You put it in 2 weeks?
I had one meeting 2 weeks before and then I had one meeting in the last week saying, hey, I'm not coming back unless I'm telling the story of getting this off, getting this. And it didn't happen. And I needed to get out there and I guess, the thing I had been missing as a professional wrestler, you know, you want like your body to be tight, your gear to be good, your entrance, your presentation. The most important thing is the people. You connect to the people. Yeah. So that's such a fun time. 2015, I go start doing indies. I wrestled in the bowling alley here in San Antonio.
That I found this fascinating and incredibly like noble. You love this sport. You love what you do. Much so that you're willing to perform in front of what? 50 people?
100? So, I mean, on an indie, they always double it. So like, there's 300 people out there. I can count, dog. I've been counting seats, too, since I was a little kid because my dad ran some really small shows, too, and he had his independent promotion. But I wanted to not be pretentious in how I did it. I said, wherever, map it out. Wherever I will go, anywhere I will go. I went to, there was a company I worked for called Mr. Chainsaw Pro Wrestling. Nice. Some of the most bizarre things. I went everywhere because there are indie pockets everywhere. And that's where it was so good because outside the bubble, there's some great wrestling. And I needed to learn that. I needed to test myself because when you're coming from WWE, you're giving them this WWE rub, but you're also getting their rub, the street, that underground rub. And if you don't understand that symbiosis and how that goes, you're just a guy taking a check and going on and not bumping in the middle. Like, I went for it. And it was the best.
Since I've only seen a sliver of the WWE universe and that style of wrestling, what are some things that you learned on that indie circuit?
I learned, so there's some, you're going to find this out, and I'm so glad I get to watch you find this all out. There's some guys in the industry, legends, who are so judgmental on how we do wrestling, because they made money. They did it. They were right. They drew interest. They got heat. They did it all right. They're committed to the idea that there's only one way to do it. Mm. What I found out is that however you do it, if the people are up, if they're reacting, if they're popping, or if they're on their feet, don't judge this. this is done right. Mm. If they're entertained. Plus, the wrestling fan has evolved so much. Most of them are longtime fans. They've been sitting watching the same stuff. We've got to change.
Yeah.
NFL has changed. Sports have all changed. The game is fast. And then you hear these dudes, you'll hear people, oh, I'm old school, man. I'm meat and potatoes. 9 times out of 10, that means you're lazy. Buddy, like, can you do something? Like, I'm all about the moments too. I believe it. But the moments and the moves, yeah. It's both.
Yeah.
Like, this is last night, I got to watch you fly across the ring right in front of me, you know? And to do that, and with Ricochet, just that's a guy I met. He was the type of guy where I wrestled him on the independent
no
scene.
No way.
Yeah, a bunch of times.
He was on the indie circuit.
Oh, man, big time indie guy.
He's so talented.
Yeah.
Like that, it goes to show, even just like my team and my friends, they send me indie circuit clips from people wrestling, and the moves these people are doing are incredible.
There's a clip I want you to watch that's Ricochet versus Will Ospreay from New Japan. You might have seen it already. It's the most complex, wild standoff. It's just like ducks, pass-bys, underneath, flip over the top. Some of the most athletic stuff you've ever seen done in a live setting. One time the rope broke and they still did it. They've done it twice. And it was the most polarizing thing in wrestling. For this is not right. This is not how you do it. Really? Like, the people are happy. Like, let them be happy. And if you're one of these, I don't want to say old timers, but one of these luminary veteran figures poking at what we do, you're the one who's busting kayfabe here. If you're the one saying, like, this is how you do it, well,
traditionalist.
I like it all.
I find it funny because when they probably started, it was so new and weird that it's kind of hypocritical that they would even come down on you for trying to do new artistic things.
Yeah. Harley Race was the first dude, St. Louis. He was one of the first guys to do these big backdrops. And everyone then was like, you can't do that every night, man. You can't do that. You're going to waste it. You know, less is more, less is more. Harley Race ended up being a 7-time world champion. Like, the game changes.
It's like, I don't know if you ever saw the movie Semi-Pro with Will Ferrell, when they do the first alley-oop and the whole game stops and everybody's like, you can't do that.
The ref has to allow it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
exactly.
A great, yeah.
It's funny because this is an industry where, like, I liken the talent to artistry. Like, the performers are artists, and that's where I think sometimes the creative differences can come into play, because you have a person who wants to express themselves a certain way and connect with their audience a certain way, but sometimes the industry and the organization that you work for doesn't have the same vision, and it sounds like that's what happened to you. But like I said, like, the amount of talent and inspiration you can get from so many pieces of this industry and being that boots on the ground wrestler that you were on that indie circuit, it obviously paid off. And I'm sure when you were doing it, you didn't have a plan or an idea that you'd be winning Rumble 3-4 years later.
It would seem like I did have a plan, but you're 100% right. I was just doing it. It seems now like, what a destiny story. I don't believe in destiny or fate.
It's insane.
I did it and loved it and believed it and was able to, we ended up making a whole alternative wrestling promotion that exists.
I want to commend you for two things. One is,
you're gonna pick a bone with me.
The bone was for throwing me over. That's it. But I want to commend you for three things, actually.
You just added more.
Because it reminded me. One, sticking to your vision and what you love and your passion. That's hard, even when not a lot of people are watching, especially when you're used to a lot of people watching. Like, that step down, per se, yielded now such amazing results. I forget what the second thing was.
See, you got too many things.
Back to two.
Back to two.
That's good. I did
hit my head on that.
So, yeah, tell me about it. You got a little, because I wanted to see after, just because you did a wonderful job, but you got, what happened? What was it?
I forgot to tuck my fucking chin, dude. And I was told so many times, tuck your chin. But I was coming off of the injury and doing this insane move. And as you know, there's so much to think about. Yeah. You're used to it, but it is extremely stressful. It is not a normal environment for a human to be in, with that many people watching and having to hit these really difficult, high flying, complicated moves, entertain at the same time and protect your body. It's hard. And that was the second thing I wanted to commend you for, is when I got injured at Crown Jewel, my WWE rep reached out to me and she was like, Cody Rhodes wants your number. Can I connect you? And you reached out because you were just getting over your pec injury.
Yeah.
And you were like, yeah, dude, you know, it'll get better and hang in there. These things happen and you'll
drink
be
milk.
Back in no time.
Drink milk.
I told you to drink milk. I drank milk and somehow miraculously healed for Rumble. And so and you're just a good dude. That's what I want to commend you for. I want to say thank you for reaching out because you didn't have to do that. You're a vet in this sport and you put in the hours and so I still haven't yet.
I thank you. My thought though is I do have to reach out. And it's the same reason why I have a gym in McDonough, Georgia, that's Nightmare Fitness. And we have a smoothie shop next door with Gun Smoothies. Billy Gunn, another wrestler, he owns the smoothie shop. Him and his wife, Paula, we put Prime in the fridge.
No way.
Yeah, because it's the same reason. Rock going to do a movie. I'm going to come out of pocket and go see that movie. Oh, John's going to do his show on HBO Max. I'm going to stream the whole damn thing.
Well, you didn't even know me yet.
But you're,
and you can't even see him.
But your family.
But you're in on what we do. Yeah. And there used to be this thing where you'd go to these shows. Pandemic kind of changed that, but we're wrestlers constantly shaking hands. And if they were an extra backstage or like a rookie coming up, everybody you could possibly get, to the point where you're getting them multiple times. The reason we do that, they'll chalk it up at wrestling school and say respect. The reason we do it is because we need one another. Mm. Like the marquee doesn't just say Kevin Owens. Mm. It's Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns. It don't work without that's one of the old rules that actually does make sense. And I was happy. I wanted to reach out but I know what it feels like.
Because you had just had it.
Yeah.
I saw a picture of you in that one match. Your whole chest was just like a deep dark purple.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could like tear your pack. How does that even work?
Oh, it could happen.
And still complete a whole match on it.
The stupid thing was, I've been wrestling since I was 15 is when I started like pro training. No injuries. Felt bulletproof. Walked in the gym, flip-flops on. Flip-flops in the gym, bad sign. Open cup of coffee. A little bit of this real old-timer warm-up. Got on the bench, put on 295. Didn't even warm up.
That's a lot.
No reason for me to ever be doing, was going for four. So the dude at the other side of the gym, you know, testosterone filled, just me and this other dude. I have no idea who this man is. I don't know why he's like grimacing at me. I'm like grimacing at him.
Do you have a spotter?
No. Now I'm gonna show him.
Oh my
now
God,
I'm gonna show
Cody.
Him. Like I'm gonna.
Dude, he like randomly ate Taco Bell last night and had to shit. It had nothing to do
so
with you.
You thought
he was like trying to show you that. He's like.
The plot thickens. He's doing his full CrossFit routine, like taking up the whole jungle gym. It's just me and him in there, and I'm gonna show you, dude. I just unrack it, and it went right away. Oh. It just went.
So you hadn't even gone down for
hadn't even gone down. It went like Velcro. They're like, did it pop? Doesn't pop. It went, and I felt it.
Full tear.
Yep. I didn't need to kick the weights off. They flew off.
Yep.
Then this dude, who I've been having this moment with, runs over. Hey man, are you okay?
Your biggest enemy. My God. Your biggest enemy.
Hey. I didn't have my contacts in. I wanted to see if you needed a spotter.
Hey. I was, and I knew right away. They tell you, hey, go get an MRI, buddy. Like this piece right here, it's gone.
Yeah,
it you don't
sucks.
Need an MRI.
So like, oh my God.
I did the one doctor. I'm doing a Zoom with him. He's like, get into a plank position, and it just falls.
A Zoom.
Yeah, I'm doing a Zoom because I'm so concerned. Like, what do I do? And it just falls. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I need the MRI. Like, I think it's gone.
You need a bra.
Look me up here. And then like the next day is like this big black spot that formed, and then it just became
kept running
like,
right.
Dumbledore's hand, and like it just was so disgusting. Like my body
turned
was dying.
Turned into Thanos, dude.
Yeah, it was just. So wild. And my poor wife, she's seen like I like the violence of what we do, but I think there's a limit to what she can handle. And just I had to watch her watch me, and our daughter's 1 year old at the time, and like can't really pick her up anymore. Like it was great that it happened, because I'd gone that long thinking I was just going to be invincible, and no way. Everything has to change now. I'm not lifting 295. We need to get aminos in the body. We need real trainers. We need everything. And that was nice to correct and get ready and kind of reassess as an athlete.
But surgery, right? You had arthroscopic surgery, right? They go in, they refuse the muscle, basically, or sew the muscle.
Tie it over here.
Whoa. Yeah, they tie the muscle off. That's right.
Dr. Dugas, he's an amazing surgeon.
Great name.
Shout out Dr. Dugas.
Dugas.
Doug. And anyway, so I saw the video because they filmed my surgery for my documentary. Like super awkward. I'm in like the gown. It's on backwards. Right. You know, like You don't want to be filmed in these moments. Like, we could fake this later, right? Like, he's like, I saw the footage that most people haven't seen because it's so much blood. He's literally just blood is squirting out of my chest. And he's got, like, looks like kitchen tongs. And he's just yanking
the muscle
ugh, back to the arm. Ugh. And he's showing them because he's, like, teaching as he goes. Like, see here? I'm, buddy, that's my body.
Why are you showing that?
Put me back.
And then he was a really, I had him. I had Brian Tovin at Sports Rehabilitation in Atlanta. And that was like my little family because I was a hermit after that. I wanted to do what Hunter did when he tore his quad, just get into nutrition, get into fitness, get as healthy as I can, hide, and come back when they need me back.
You really got to put your head down and convince yourself that it's going to be good and believe that it's going to be good.
Yeah.
It can be so like, damaging, especially if you've never been injured. Mm-hmm. It sounds like this is the first major one.
Yep.
Did that worry you at all?
I mean, it made me feel like, so the pay-per-view we were going to, the Hell in the Cell pay-per-view, as a wrestler, you're always supposed to be like, oh, I've been to the end zone before. I haven't, right? So I've been close, but I'm going in Hell in the Cell, and the poster is this giant photo of me.
Yeah.
It's the most Peacock new subs for this PLE, this premium live event. They all want to see this Hell in the Cell match with Seth and I. I come out in the arena. It's just my face on the chairs. And what I thought was, yeah, maybe I don't have it. Like, maybe I don't have what John has, you know, Cena, because he was my role model when I was here. Maybe I don't. Maybe there's a reason it didn't happen. And that's why I was so adamant about, we're not going to do some stupid thing backstage. I'm not, which no knocking that, you should never wrestle injured, but I wasn't going to have it any other way. I had to have the match at least.
How did you pass WWE's medical exam?
Well, it was simple. It was completely torn. There's nothing else that could happen to it.
And they were cool with it? They did so many tests for me before I hopped in the ring.
Unreal. I told them last night, I perforated the eardrum. I mean, this tiny, not like where you can hear it, tiny. They're waiting for me right by the door, got the thing. Like, oh my God, I don't want to be on your list. Get me off your list. You know, but thankfully, like, we no issues there. That once I was good and clear that it couldn't get hurt anymore, the best I could say was like, you got to kind of lie. Like, you know, you guys don't have to go all night. Yeah, no problem. Sure.
Bro, they were like, he's fucked anyways. Yeah. Like, let him, who cares?
Yeah, but they were really cool. And I think it was something that Vince and I really had. He knew I wasn't going to take no. And he could have, you know, I might have had to say take a no. But I just didn't want to get to it. I was adamant. And I had a great conversation with him. And he was really clear about, hey, man, if you're struggling out there, I can't. We got to call it. I said, all right, well. It's a struggle always when you're wrestling, Seth. It's a struggle when you're in a Hell in the Cell. But I did understand that, and they let me finish. And the referee in the ring, Spider, that's his nickname, he talked to me the whole time because I was just on Planet Z.
Oh,
was
that bad?
I was just really – I was in shock still because, you know, shock puke where you feel like you're going to vomit, right? You break a bone or whatever. I hit something up front and thought, oh, I set right up. And it looked like I set up for the camera shot. I set right up because they go, here it comes. I'm going to throw up, and they're going to instantly ring the bell. Like, oh, buddy, he tried. You tried, man.
What, you throw up, you lose?
Well, no, I think if I had thrown up, I think they would have been like, okay.
Something's wrong.
It's because, like, people like watching the car wreck, sure, but not, there's a limit to it, totally. You know? Like, okay, man, like, you know, and also it comes a little bit self-indulgent as a wrestler if you're like, look at me and my pain. You know, you don't want to be that guy either. Mm-hmm. I had to wrestle that match at least, and I was telling people at the press conference last night for WWE, I was like, please don't be mad at all this merchandise that's going to come out with this pec injury. I'm sorry. They like marketing stuff, you know? Yeah. Like, I don't care for it, but, like, I saw a Funko. Sorry. But, yeah, with, like, the spot.
No way.
I was like,
they made a Funko out of it?
I don't think I'm supposed to say it, but.
We can cut that out.
No. There. Let it roll.
He's wild.
Well, he won Royal Rumble last night. Yeah. He's fucking
out. I need someone to bring me down. I'm
That's funny. Yeah. No, but that tribulation is what people are in love with now. Like, you have gone through so much, including like a really traumatic and difficult injury to overcome. I wanted to ask about when you first started wrestling, because your dad was this mm-hmm. this legend, and I feel like nepotism in a way maybe works backwards in wrestling. Because now you have shoes to fill. Like, the door may be opened, but you also have a mountain in front of you that your dad climbed, and now you have the pressure to try to climb as well. Did that affect how you entered the business, and perhaps maybe why even it took so long? Like, do you think maybe it was harder for you to climb that mountain because of what happened with your dad?
So I think you'll hear a lot of second generation say the same thing. Like, yeah, we got in the door. Dominic Mysterio going through it right
totally.
Now.
For sure.
We got in the door, but now everyone's looking at me and everyone's on these. That is true. But also, just getting in the door is very hard. So, you know, I've got my school, the Nightmare Factory thing, and we got like 80 kids there now. And that's hard because it's not that you don't think some of them aren't going to make it, but it is a difficult industry to make money in. And that is the goal here, guys. Like, I know you want to have moments and be on top, totally. But you need to live.
Yeah, you got to pay the bills.
You got to pay the bills. You got to provide. I think it was difficult for me, but it's a worthy trade in. Here's the area, and I don't mean to knock any other second and third generations, but here's the area where it's a little trickier for me. Is Dusty has his fingerprints, even from the dead, on everything. Half these people in this Women's Royal Rumble were part of his tutelage. Bray Wyatt, a character he helped develop, like he had this in the winter of his life. He had this final chapter where he was developing all these wrestlers that weren't me, and I thought, like, buddy, you're. It wasn't my. I was on the road already, but I would have. You know, I never got that. He was hands off with me. He left the writing team when I came up because he didn't want there to be any favoritism. He literally left the writing team and just left me to the wilderness. There's a wrestler, a famous legend wrestler, who was with me and my manager at AEW, Arn Anderson. He left Arn to take care of me, which Arn took care of me in his own way, very firm. I think when it's a Dusty type who's on some wrestling's Mount Rushmores for all that he did as a executive producer, as a booker, as they were once called, all that, I think that's the part that's a little bit different. And I know, like, Charlotte Flair, and then of course, like, Ava, Rock's daughter, like, and Dominic, like, I was to turn around him kick me in the gut last night, as much as a stiff kick, I thought, like, good for you.
Yeah.
Good for you, buddy. Like,
he had a lot of trouble getting into the ring last night, dude.
Did he?
Yeah, nobody was letting him in, bro. He was kept looking for an entry. It looked like between the crowd, he really gets it from the crowd, from other guys. Like,
he's shitting on his dad, dude.
Everybody's mad at him.
So that's the thing. If they're booing you like crazy and they're cheering you like crazy, you're doing something right.
Right.
And in this era of like the social media, which is so responsible for so many positive things, one of the negative byproducts, of course, is that they all, bookers and promoters, can be too sensitive to it. If they're making noise, like I said, keep going.
For sure.
Print the money here. Yeah. Like, keep going. Like, don't get the you'll hear a term in wrestling, you've probably heard this, go away heat, you know, where they want you to go away. If they're booing you relentlessly, if they're wanting to throw stuff at the ring, that's not go away heat. If they're sitting on their hands looking at their phones, okay, then you're not.
A quiet arena is the worst thing you could ever end up with. You either want people going crazy or booing you.
It's the nightmare.
Yeah.
I have a question that's it's not possible, but I'm
Let's
curious.
Go.
Oh, wow.
You and your peak and your father and your peak had to tag team two other people. Who would that be?
The way you worded it was not as if we were not as if we were having a match. So if we were in a tag team match and my pops he's my partner.
Mm-hmm. I don't want you to go up against him. It's your pops.
So that's the secret though about when you're the kid, you love them, you think they're the best. You want to be better though.
Ooh, do you think your peak was better than his peak?
So this is the beautiful thing about this. The one thing Dusty never got in the business is the WWE championship. Mm. So I punched my ticket to WrestleMania. That's what's on the line. So to be able to take it, if one day there's this, you know, if heaven is a real thing and I get to walk in there, he's sitting around with Ray Stevens and his mentor, Eddie Graham. I can walk up, I can throw that thing down and he can know.
Yeah.
You drank your milk, son.
Yeah, I drank that milk. I did it. I would never look at it that way. But one thing Nick Khan has been so wonderful with me about, he makes a lot of sports analogies, and it's Ken Griffey Jr. is one he uses all the time. And man, you need that. Because you see a lot of the luminary figures backstage, like, cool, they do the Dusty impression, they tell me the story about my dad. In my mind, I'm already like, oh, fuck. Yeah, I know. Like, I know he was all those things. I get it. But like, when somebody sees you, That's the best. And we're like, seeing me is the best. If we had to tag, though, to answer your question, I would want to, I think I'd want to wrestle, of course, it'd be the Horsemen. I think I'd want to wrestle Ric Flair and Arn Anderson.
Oh. Sick.
Because, you know, I grew up, Rick and Dusty were at odds for the entire 80s, the 80s. And that, as a kid, again, Dusty not really smarting me up to anything. I would have tried to fight him, knowing I couldn't win, but I would have tried to fight him as a kid. Because they broke my dad's arm in the parking lot. He did all this terrible stuff to him. Broke his leg in the Omni in Atlanta. But that, I'd love to do that, because if you go back and watch these things, man, every punch, the crowd's, ooh, ooh. Like, these people are losing their minds because they were so connected to these characters. And I would just like to feel that one time, just to feel that. And we feel it now, like, when we're off and running. But this era has to work, no offense to the older, way harder to get it, or we have to find way smarter, whatever it is. They just knew. They were wrestling 8 days a week because it was twice on Sunday. They just knew. So I think I'd do me and Dusty versus Rick and Dubs.
That's the one to make, God. It's got to happen in heaven.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That could, I don't, you know what?
He's like, ding, ding, ding. He's like, first of all, what are you guys doing here? Wrong place.
There's always, and whenever we lose a great wrestler, and we just you know, lost one with Jay Briscoe of I mean, he was ROH. Whenever we lose a great wrestler, my sister always says, like, man, the matches in heaven are great tonight. And if I think about it, like, whew, what a super card of just it sucks to see somebody who puts in so much time. But yeah, that's a great way to really honor, you know, how, what we do here and now, honor their legacy. Like, I'm not sure how familiar you are with Jay Briscoe, but as you learn and get more indoctrinated in the business, when I went to ROH, again, another part of this excursion, that guy was it.
Dude.
He was the deal.
And I'm actually thankful that yesterday you mentioned, like, you know, we were all just kind of like warming up, doing our thing, and we'd pass each other here and there. I got to talk to some wrestlers that I had it, because I'm not incredibly social. Like, I won't go out of my way. Mm-hmm. Which maybe is like a flaw of mine, especially because, like, I'm getting into this. But, like, I got to pay respect to you guys and the clan that is building this organization that I get to come in and, like, capitalize on. Like, yeah. I'm well aware of the work that you guys put in that I don't as frequently, and that again, I get to come in, and as long as I show up, which is my duty. An obligation, as long as I show up and do the things I'm supposed to do and put on the show that I know I can, I can check my box. But, like, I just have so much respect for you guys, man. And it's funny because I went back to my locker room after, and I was like, dude, everyone's already dressed. I'm the only one wearing the clothes I'm wearing now, actually. I'm like, I feel like I'm missing something.
Everyone's, dude, I saw Miz. He looked like he had been ready since, like, last week. Yeah. He was, like, all bronzed up and shit, dude, like,
everyone,
walking around.
Everyone.
Yeah. One of my best friends in the business, Matt Cardona, he is literally, that's his logo, always ready.
Yeah, well,
because he was always getting yo-yoed around when he was on Raw way back in the day. It doesn't work anymore, but he literally was anything, superstars, main event, whatever it is, tights on, tan, ready
respect
to go, wrestlers,
respect.
But here's the thing, like, it's great to hear that when anyone comes from the outside, you're hoping they dig it, because sometimes they come from the outside and they don't dig it, and they're it's a paycheck, or it's a vessel to whatever means. What's very special about what you're doing is your brand is so gigantic. I mean, literally, this is a gigantic brand. If you look at who's been on your show and, like, what, everything that you've done, sometimes hardcore wrestling fans get a little irritated about it, but guys, it doesn't hurt for some fans of Logan Paul to say, you know what, I'm gonna buy a ticket, I don't know anything about this.
That's the trade-off.
That's it. And if they come in and they're there for you, but freaking Otis walks out and they go, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's it. I did two shows on TBS. I did a game show, Go Big Show, and then my wife and I did a reality show. And a lot of the hardcore fans at the time were like, really, like, oh, so focused on these other projects. Guys, the other projects are for what I do.
It's all an engine.
Yeah, the other projects are like, hey, if there's a demographic that watches this reality show, I don't give a damn if it's six people. Get them over.
Mm-hmm.
Get it, because I know wrestling's one of those things that if you go, If you go, you're in.
I tell everyone you're this. In. I told these guys this when I was getting in. I was like, you guys have to come to the show. It's unlike anything you've ever seen.
Last night was the best for me, at least. I don't know about you. What? Like, obviously, you know, Saudi was very special just because that was his, like, kind of his proving night, and the night when the wrestling traditionalists were just like, yo, he's not an outsider. Like, this is the real fucking deal. But last night, dude, Royal Rumble, which, you know, I watched wrestling my whole life growing up. I was jumping off the couches, you know, pretending I was the Ultimate Warrior or whoever was on at that time, right? But last night, every time that clock ticks down, I know that everyone in that crowd is getting a Christmas present.
Yeah.
Like everyone's eyes are like me and George, every time that clock, even as a joke, because, you know, I don't watch as much anymore, but like, every time it ticked down, I was like, yo, they're about to announce somebody awesome.
So fun.
It was so much fun.
So I had
fun,
no
dude.
Idea about this. I didn't grow up watching wrestling.
The concept of the Rumble.
Bro, I thought it was two people fighting, and then, like, I didn't, because Logan doesn't, I don't know anything. He's not allowed to know.
I don't tell him anything.
Yeah. So I just see ding, and this guy comes out, and I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. And then ding, another guy. I go, that's dangerous. And then ding, and then ding, and then ding.
Ten people in the ring.
I go, Mike, how many people are coming out? He goes, dude, this is it. Everybody's fighting to be the last
30.
One.
Yeah,
but also I want to hear that story about Shane. You kind of
it's not really like a Shane McMahon story, but this is so you mentioned like the excursion I went on and like doing it, but when I plugged back into like, all right, not even just WWE, when we were starting up the other promotion, the money was large, and I had been away from the large money for a while, and I was in Tokyo Dome hotel getting ready to do this big show, Wrestle Kingdom, they have for New Japan. It's a great show. But I knew in a few weeks it was going to go down. Like, we're going to announce it to the world. They're going to, we're going to be on an actual real network. This is happening. So Shane's music is "Here Comes the Money." It's like a very signature music. So every time I get on the elevator with the other guys who were in the group with me, I would play that music. And there was all these other wrestlers who were, we were the enemy. We were there because we were there. We were leaving. They didn't know why. Yeah. So, and I just played it to the point where, like, now I can't see Shane not be like, man, I ruined your song. I played it everywhere. Yeah, no. I haven't seen Shane since I came back.
What's he doing? He's just hanging out.
He's got a good, I wrestled Shane. I had a singles match with Shane as a kid. We were doing the Legacy, me, Randy, Ted DiBiase versus Hunter and Vince, like the whole family. Mm. Wrestled Vince one night too. Shane will bring it, boy. I watched him. I have a pretty good jaw. In wrestling, we'll find it's real quick to find out if you don't, just because a lot of slaps, right, will get you. I watched him tee up DiBiase and thought, nope, I don't want to be. He's a machine.
He's a McMahon.
Yeah.
What do you expect?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so Vince came down to, we did this thing where we all faced off, and I wanted to fight Vince. I was like, yeah, what an opportunity, right? I'm going to fight him. And Vince always was so reality-based and just a genius level thinker. But when he ran at me, it was like he reverted to the glory days of the 80s, because I threw a punch hoping he's going to block it. He blocked it. All right. Halfway there, and then he wound up like this, and he like hammer fisted me on the top of the head, and I thought, oh my gosh, like, that is not reality based, sir, but I'm gonna fly all over. But it just made, because that was what he was, you know, growing up on, because the energy when you do something, it's they're winding up, and then the people come with it. But yeah,
what match made you the most nervous?
Hands down, last night.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow.
But I was also going to ask, it's got to be nice being number 30, huh?
So I'd rather wrestle 1 hour with you and I and have not discussed a thing than I would an 8-minute something where I'm details. Plus, there's people in the Rumble. You got dinged. Gunther's been out there for an hour.
Forever. Hour plus.
Yo,
he
speaks with a deep accent. Right. Like, we're in a territory where, like, they're counting. It was great, right? I want to play quarterback. I want to be in the big game. So this was the moment, like, nothing can miss. Absolutely nothing miss. I was at my school. This is how nervous I was. I was at my school last week running to the ring and sliding in.
No way.
Running to the ring and sliding in. Running around the other ring and sliding in. Just, I can't fall. throwing.
No, you can't. You can't. It's true.
Oh, you're dead on the. Especially if you're a baby face and you fall. Oh my god. You're dead. Then I would throw myself over and grab on, and I with security cams. My one buddy who owns the gym, QT. I said, you got to check the security footage. I'm in there just throwing myself over. There's nobody in there.
That's what I was practicing.
You just like, and then my mom, who's, you know, every now and then I forget she's like a genius wrestler, even though she was never a wrestler, just because she's around it. But she's like, I can't believe you risked that, putting your feet that close. Could have blown it. Yeah, yeah, I could have, mom, but like, I'm a pro.
Yeah,
like,
you were really close last night,
right?
That's the
one thing about the Rumble, though. Like, anything can go wrong right for someone else at any moment in time.
In a more like nebulous, non-significant, I like when a little flub, like something little happens bad. Just, yeah. Oh, Kofi, man. Has Kofi been on this show?
No, not yet.
He's got some great stories. Sick. So you guys have been so kind to me and said such nice things. Kofi knows there was another version of me, and he can let you know. I was a little bit of a troublemaker in the first run, and now like they see me and they want a little of that. I'm like,
That's the old.
That's not me anymore.
Had a child.
Yeah, a baby.
You know? Yeah. I just wanted, you know, this seems like a good gig, you know.
Would you ever be in the X-Men? You look like you could.
I grew up on the X-Men.
Yeah,
you could be.
Did we all grow up on the animated series? X-Men?
For sure. Yeah, but you could easily be cast like now, like today. You could go on the set and just be one of the X-Men, or like the.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Which X-Men?
Cable.
Cable's such a good X-Men. Yeah. That's such a good call. Because you can do Strife too. You could do Strife, like, because he had the Oh my gosh! And then the other brother. Ooh.
Have you ever considered getting a face tat?
So, I mean, I said I was never going to get tats, and now I have a giant one impeding my presidential election.
Yeah. We call those job stoppers, that tattoo.
That right there?
Yeah. That's how you get let out of an interview, like, nah, we're not
I've seen
interested.
A few people in the subway with that.
You know what's tricky is, like, in Japan, you know, you can't go in the gyms with tattoos.
Well, he can't even go to Japan.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
So, I mean, that's a stopper right there.
Do you have another one of the Prime energies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, here we go.
Would you like? Is the blue one?
The blue is
blue one's the best, I think. Is the blue one the best?
Strawberry watermelon's my personal favorite.
I haven't tried it.
Blue is second.
I never tried any of the strawberry watermelons.
What?
Yeah, this one's really good. I'll try them after, or before this. I'll try them before this.
All right.
Cheers.
You know what I'm saying?
10 calories, zero sugar. 200 milligrams caffeine.
Yeah, that's going to do it. Thanks. I got a signing after this. I'm going to be primed up.
Nice.
I'm going to be primed up.
There you go.
Thank you.
How excited are you for WrestleMania?
Ooh.
This is a big one, Cody. I know you know, but I've been hearing rumors about just the gate alone.
Yeah.
Prior to last night, any fights being announced, and it's like gearing up to be one of the biggest WrestleManias ever in Los Angeles on April 1st, which, by the way, is my birthday.
I mean, you're pointing at that sign.
I thought it was going to be me.
So that I knew where you're. I was like, the show's clearly in Hollywood. He's really pointing it up there. It is. So WrestleMania, this is your second WrestleMania, right?
Yeah, second.
So this is your second WrestleMania.
Technically kind of third.
Right.
Kevin Owens stunned me once.
Yeah.
And then last year third.
So Mania's goal is the biggest wrestling show of the year, sports entertainment show, however the vernacular you want to use on it. But also, I don't know if you, like, the whole wrestling community flocks to Mania. Mm. There's about 1,100 indie shows that go on from literally starting Wednesday of that week to like the day before Mania.
In the surrounding area?
Surrounding area. WrestleCon happens, where that's where it's like a convention, and it's not all the WWE legends. It's a little bit of mix. You'll see some of the WWE legends. It's a wonderful event. Everybody comes to celebrate, and the international travels. Everybody comes to celebrate. Every year WrestleMania gets bigger. So it's not like hyperbole or wrestler speak to say this is the biggest WrestleMania ever. We know going into this one, just from these preliminary gates, this is legitimately the biggest thing that's ever been done in wrestling.
Oh my God.
Like, it's,
oh, that's insane.
And the irony of the potential of a Rhodes going on last, when my dad spent 8 years competing against WWE. I spent 3 and stirred up as much trouble as I could possibly stir up. The irony of the potential of going on last under the brightest lights on the grandest stage is just why this place is so good. Mm. They no judgments. Like, not no judgment. I'm sure, you know, there's some hard feelings over things that happen here, but if a guy or girl is the thing, if they're ready, If it's them, then they're moving it forward. Mm. They're absolutely, that's what we're going to push, right? And I just, the idea of it, I don't want to end up like I'm TCU in the national title game, you know, where like maybe I wasn't supposed to be there. I don't want to shrivel under the lights, but I am very much, very, very much just now letting it all sink in what we're doing. And I really want to let it all sink in now so that I can stop doing this. This is amazing. It's going to be great. And like I said, you want to pretend you've been in the end zone.
Show up.
Yeah, I got to show up and we got to deliver and we got to execute whatever that situation is, whether I'm wrestling Roman Reigns, which is what it you know looks like, or if he ends up at 60 something days to Mania, whatever it is. I got to finish the story. For those who don't know, you know, 1978, my dad won the WWE title, but it was by a over the top rope or disqualifications, how he won the match. So he put the belt on, big pantomime, the crowd's excited, but then they took it away. So you won the match, but the champion got to keep the title. So I that's mentioned it on Raw. It's a real story. I had that picture, and that was my first dream ever. Like, I'm gonna get it to him. I have the belt too, the original.
No way.
Yeah, I showed it to Vince when we had our first meeting. But as much as that belt's special, what Roman has is it. That's
you want that.
What I would say for Roman in terms of what he's done, it really is amazing in terms of the irony of the situation where he could potentially be standing across from me. But there are some things that's better than your nutrition, your conditioning, and your ability in the ring. Some things you just can't avoid. And this is one of those things. This is a legitimate team that surrounded me, a team of destiny, and it's someone who I think at the end of the day, I want it more. And I hope that's what it comes down to. But again, the biggest WrestleMania of all time, the biggest wrestling show of all time, as much as I'd like to say the most important thing is that I leave with the WWE Championship, the most important thing is the people have the best time of their lives.
Let's go.
Really is.
Let's go.
Right. Yeah. You are running for president. Yeah. He's running for president one day. It's about me. It's about you.
Vote Cody Reigns 2024.
Cody Reigns.
Oh, Cody Rhodes. I just mixed two people together. It's 9 a.m.
Cody, so that's it, dude. You're wonderful. I was blessed and honored to be thrown out of the ring by you. And
I'm sorry it happened that
it's
way.
It's fine, dude. It's gotta happen. It might even happen again. And maybe the opposite.
It's another rumble next year. You know?
Thank you for coming on our show. Congratulations again. I cannot wait to see you compete at WrestleMania. And for what it's worth, I think you're going to beat Roman.
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Of course.
Cody Rhodes.
Guys, thank you for watching this episode of Impulsive. We love you. Hit that subscribe button. We will see you next time. Take it easy. Peace.